Today's Big Brother exit interview is sponsored by TrueCar. TrueCar is the easiest way to shop for a car. You can do it all on the TrueCar app or on the TrueCar website. It's the most transparent way of buying a new car because you can just go online and pick out the exact car that you want to get with all of the features and everything you want, and then you can compare what other people are paying so you know that you get the best price based on what people are saying down to the zip code, so you won't have to pay more than you want to pay for the exact car that you want. Then you can lock in that price and then you'll be matched up with a trusted, certified True Car dealer that will match the price that you pay online. Often it's over $3,000 off MSRP and you won't have to negotiate at all. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, and never overpay, download the True Car app today. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sisternino here, getting you ready for our weekly Big Brother exit interview. And today we're going to speak with the third player evicted from Big Brother 17, and that would be Jeff Weldon, who was evicted by a vote of 7-4. Actually came out closer than we probably would have anticipated coming into last night. So we're going to talk with Jeff all about it. On Thursday night, I did my weekly eviction show recap with Ian Terry and Brent Wolgamott. That's up at robhaswebsite.com. You could, of course, catch the whole conversation about the episode, but we are going to be getting into it today with Jeff, and I see that we have him up on the line, so let's go ahead and patch him in. Jeff, good morning. Are you there?
Rob, what's up?
Jeff, how's it going?
Good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. Fun season of the Big Brother, and a big surprise for all of us when you and Jackie went from The Amazing Race to Big Brother this season.
Yeah, dude. How exciting is that?
It was very exciting. Very exciting. And I can't believe that this is our second exit interview here in like 3 months.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of sad. It came a lot sooner than I expected. That's for sure.
Uh-oh. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into this. Now, on The Amazing Race, they gave you a blind date. On Big Brother, they gave you a blind side, Jeff.
Yeah, and I called him out for it, too.
Yes, you did.
Actually, I thought people wanted to laugh when I looked around the room.
All right, so at any point this week, did you feel like you might have been able to last pass this eviction?
Yeah, actually, I wasn't 100% confident, but I knew that I had some work to do, and I had my work cut out for me certainly this week. But I thought that I could kind of smooth things over and regain some trust in some of these fallen relationships, if you will.
Yeah, like which ones?
You know what? My main objective this week was regaining trust with Clay and Shelley, which turned out to be a total flop. And once I realized that I was wasting my time, I started to move on to persuading people that normally wouldn't vote for me to stay, to vote for me.
Now, when you come out of the house, are you able to get a better picture of what the alliances are in the house than when you're actually in there, like the being able to see the forest for the trees?
Like, are you saying like when I was up on the block? Or
no,
like now
when you come out, are you able to get a better picture of all of the people that, okay, oh, I get it now. All those people were aligned in this way.
No, you know what's weird, man, is I think one of my biggest downfalls is people started realizing that I was a lot smarter than they probably initially perceived me to be. And they're like, okay, this guy is on top of his game. He understands everything that's going on. And all my speculations started to end up being true. And they're probably like, okay, this guy's just too smart. He knows too much. We got to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's what I figured happened too.
Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, even Vanessa, like, I wouldn't call myself brilliant. I mean, I guess I was flattered that she said I was brilliant. But, you know, if she thought that, that means she was probably saying that to other people, and it was just creating a huge target on my back.
Yeah. How hard was it for you to campaign against your buddy James this week?
You know what, man? It was very difficult. James is somebody that I would have wanted to be in the end with me, man. I mean, even a possible, you know, final three type situation. And so I wanted to respect James. And at first, we both agreed we weren't going to campaign. But when I noticed I was starting to have to put out more fires than necessary the last couple of days because rumors were popping up, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to start campaigning. I didn't want to do it, but it was a necessary evil.
What were the rumors?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was pretty much anything that Austin wanted to create. It was pretty, I feel like it was all Austin-derived. It was everything from me and Clay had a staged fight, which is obviously untrue, to I was throwing Austin's name under the bus and I was trying to get rid of him next week, to I was throwing Steve's name under the bus and I was trying to get him out next week. And then there was also something with James, which I didn't even dive into. So it was just a bunch of random stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was all about me throwing people under the bus and trying to get them out next week. And it's clear my agenda has been clear for the last 2 weeks. I've been trying to get Audrey out of the house.
All right, well, let's stay on Austin, then we'll talk about Audrey, because Austin was such a big part of this ultimately happening to you. In my mind, between he had the opportunity, he was up against Johnny Mac in the veto competition. He pretty clearly did not go all out to beat Johnny Mac when he had done pretty well and let Johnny Mac take the veto, which ultimately set up you as the renomination candidate. He pushed for you to go up on the block. And then we had the big love triangle where he walked in on you in the bed with Liz and then was very upset about that afterwards.
Dude, it was actually hilarious. I actually laughed at him behind closed doors.
All right. So talk about, because earlier in the season, it was like, oh, Jeff and Austin have a podcast. And, you know, this podcasting isn't as easy as it looks, right?
No, dude. I honestly, I might get a job hosting, dude. I actually really enjoyed that podcast.
All right. But not with Austin?
Yeah, no. Austin got fired this week.
So you're going solo.
Yeah. No, I don't get it twisted, man. I was the main anchor of the show, so I could fire at will. So I unfortunately had to fire him.
Okay. All right. So Austin is off the podcast. That being said, talk about, you guys were friends, and I think that you felt like you were friends probably longer than Austin felt like you guys were friends. How did this falling out really start to happen?
Well, so here's the deal, man. My, if you recall, earlier in the season, Austin threw my name under the bus. And he also, in my opinion, lost a lot of respect from me when he threw his best friend Jace under the bus and he abandoned a ship that wasn't necessarily completely sinking. Yes, it was sinking. But, I mean, he just threw his best friend under the bus to everybody, completely abandoned him. And Liz was on that same ship that was sinking, and she didn't rat him out. So that was a red flag. And then when he threw my name under the bus later that week, another red flag. So as far as the podcast goes and me creating a friendship with Austin, it was mainly just game strategy. I knew that he was going to win an HOH soon, which was proven to be correct because he won the next one. And I felt that I had enough rapport to keep myself safe. But clearly, there wasn't enough rapport built because I definitely felt like he had a major role in why I left.
Yeah. And so, for Austin, do you still have hard feelings towards him?
No, man. I always knew he was a snake in the grass. Austin, he's honestly not a strong player, and he's not really that smart either. And I would just make fun of him all the time, and he was right about a lot of things. When he asked if I was ever gunning for him or talking publicly to other people about maybe they should gun for him, it's all accurate. I mean, even when we were doing podcasts, I was still talking to other people about how we need to get rid of him.
Mm. From the podcast or from the house?
No, I was talking to, like, not from the podcast, but just like while the podcasts were going on, while a lot of people might have thought that me and Austin are best buds, I was still onto his game and onto his shadiness, and I was exploiting him to everyone.
Do you think that there is a romantic future in the house between Liz and Austin?
Absolutely not. You know what? I think she's terrified of the guy. I think it's one of those situations where you know, dare I say, a Caleb situation, but I think she sees a guy that's a physical competitor, and she knows that she's kind of alone in the game, with an exception to her twin sister, who really doesn't do much game talk and is kind of useless. But I just think that she feels that she's in too deep with him, so that if she jumps that ship, I think she thinks, oh my gosh, Austin's going to go after me. And so she's kind of stuck with him. But by meeting me, I think I open her eyes to how shady he is, and I open her eyes to how there's other people in the house that she can trust, and she could slowly start to move away from that friendship or whatever you want to call it, and maybe form some real friends for once.
Yeah. Did you feel like when you were in the bed with Liz that you ended up putting a target on her back?
You know, maybe so with Austin only. You know, as far as everyone else goes, they could care less if I'm in bed with Liz. I would say that, honestly, it probably helped her game a little bit, because I was pretty well liked in the house, an exception to Austin stirring up some drama. But in regards to Austin, I think it did create a target for her a little bit. He was pretty ticked off when he saw us.
All right, let's talk about your relationship with Jackie. The last time we talked, we said, okay, what's going on? Is this a romance? Is this a showmance? That you had said that there was maybe you guys, if you lived in the same town, you would get together. It's always been confusing to me exactly what the relationship is between you two.
Right. Well, what it comes down to is Jackie and I just aren't compatible on that level. However, we're great friends. We've shared some amazing experiences, some very unique experiences, and it's stuff that I'll never forget, and I don't share with anyone else. So it's just it's a rare bond. And so I think that's really what keeps us in contact and keeps us such great friends. But other than that, there is no romance whatsoever to our relationship.
Now, last night you had said with Julie, you were pretty confident in Jackie's chances to win the game. And right. with all due respect to Jackie, she really hasn't been doing very much in the house. Do you feel like, does she have a next gear that she can turn it into, or is it pretty much what we see is what we get with Jackie?
You know what, man? I honestly think it's what you see is what you're going to get. I don't see Jackie right now. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. She's playing a real standoffish game, and, you know, dare I say she's a floater, but I mean, at the end of the day, that's what she's doing. She's a floater in the Big Brother game. But the dynamic of the season seems to favor the floaters. I mean, that's just such a rare dynamic. It's like, let's get rid of the people that are actually trying to play the game. Let's keep all the weak players.
Well, it happens more often than you think.
Yeah.
So, tell me about Audrey, because how shocked are you that you are out of the house, but Audrey, who you had been gunning for really from the first week, is still in the house?
You know what, man? I am actually not shocked. And you know what? I actually even loathe even having to say that and admit to that. The reason why is Audrey is probably, if my speculation, and I honestly, so far in this game, my speculations have came out to be true. People are keeping her around because why not? She's just an easy target. She's just basically laying around waiting for someone to pull the trigger on her, and everyone knows it. So it's like, let's save her for later when we don't really have anyone else we want to go after, any more big fish.
Are you worried for any of your buddies from the After Dark crew with Shelly and Liz being HOH this week? Do you think that one of your former alliance mates is going to be joining you outside of the house this week?
You know, you bring up a really good question. One thing I know is Clay and Shelly, to my knowledge, have no idea of that alliance. At least I'd like to think they don't. But I think that if they got a chance out of all those people, I don't think that next week anybody in the After Dark crew would be their target. I really think that they're going to go back to the original game plan and take out Audrey. And if it's not Audrey, I think it's going to be Austin.
How much harder is Big Brother than The Amazing Race, if it is at all?
You know what, man? I think hands down, it's a much more difficult game. And the reason why is The Amazing Race, it certainly has its difficulties, but it's almost like you don't really have to use too much brain activity to get through the show. I mean, really, you don't. With Big Brother, there's a whole lot that goes into it. I mean, it is a very complex game, and it's a very emotional draining game. I think that it's just not cut out for everybody. As far as The Amazing Race goes, you don't really, I mean, it's just really random. It's all about like coincidence and logistics. If you could get from point A to point B without any issues, every single leg, you might win The Amazing Race.
Well, Jeff, what a ride it's been from going on a blind date on The Amazing Race to all the way to the Big Brother house. Lots of fun. Great to talk to you again. Don't cry because this interview is over. Just smile because it happened, okay?
Hey, you liked that, didn't you?
It wasn't bad.
No, man. I think my opening to my speech was the best, like you said. And I said, I didn't see this coming, but then again, that's why they call it a blind side.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Jeff, all the best, okay?
Thanks, Rob.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Jeff Weldon back. Exit interview number two for Jeff here on Rob Has a Podcast. All right, so coming up Sunday, we're going to have our next live Big Brother show. Adam Pock is going to join me. He's been dying to get on the podcast, and so I told him that he can come on this Sunday night live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time to talk about everything going on in Big Brother and, of course, update the live feeds from over the weekend. Very excited today because Josh Wigler and I just dropped the Evolution of Strategy Chapter 19, talking about Survivor Samoa. This was one of my favorite chapters to record. Lots of fun stuff about Russell and Natalie, but also a lot of other people that are in the mix, including Shambo, returnees Russell Swan, Laura Moret, and we started to hear some rumors about Monica Padilla around the time that we were recording that. So we did pay some extra attention to her game in Survivor Samoa. So all that is part of the Evolution of Strategy, which you can hear. If you don't know what that is, that's our 30-season Survivor rewatch audiobook series. Each chapter is $2.99, with the exception of some of the bigger chapters, like next week's chapter, Heroes versus Villains, which is going to drop next Friday. You can find out all about that and listen to Chapter 1 for free at evolutionofstrategy.com. So that's going to do it here for this show. Looking forward to picking it back up with you guys on Sunday night. Going to record a Survivor off-season podcast today with Mike Bloom. We are going to be going through and creating the perfect Survivor season by coming up with the best episode for each of the slots. The first part of this is going to come out this weekend, where we're going to pick out the top episodes for the Survivor pre-merge, one going through all 30 seasons and trying to pick out the best premiere, best second episode, best third episode, and come up with ultimately a list of what is the best Survivor season possible. So that's coming up this weekend. So lots to do here on Rob's Podcast. If you're listening to this on Friday, don't forget to check out Jordan Parhar's Big Brother Happy Hour with special guest McCray this week. Oh, it should be fantastic, because McCray knows a thing or two about Happy Hour as well. So we will check that out live 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on RobHasAWebsite.com. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.